Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. And good evening. Okay, there we are. There we are. I muted myself. So we're going to start over because I've been running my mouth and not knowing what was happening. But one of the things I was talking about, India's outstanding leadership in keeping the ustalknetwork.com listening community together. And I so much love having watched the sister take the mantle of this community and move forward. Also, I want you to know that our call-in number here at Our Common Ground tonight, we will be on the air until 1 a.m., is 347-838-9852, 347-838-9852, and this indeed is the blogtalkradio.com edition of Our Common Ground, broadcasting live, doing what we do, and that is bringing information and the opportunity for your expression, your examination of today's events. I'm going to be watching both chat rooms, or trying to do that, and figuring out how to do this blog talk radio thing. And for those of you who would like to know what our schedule is, our schedule is that for the rest of the week, I will be a guest host at the India Declare Show from 8 to 10 p.m. here at Blog Talk Radio, and that is blogtalkradio.com/the India Declare Show. I will be joining India. We were unable to secure a time slot on Blog Talk Radio from 8 to 10 Monday through Friday. So we are making lemonade from lemons, and we hope that you will stay with us in all of that. One of the reasons that you could not hear me is because I had muted myself. And we are here. We are here until 1 a.m. this morning to do the Our Common Ground show. For those of you who are new, I am Janice Graham, and for 2 hours every evening at Our Common Ground, I'll be listening for you. Our number, call-in number, is 347-838-9852, and we are committed, just as we said on the India Declare show on Thursday and Friday, Our Common Ground is committed to keeping the mission and the dream of ustalknetwork.com alive. We will not go down. We will not be silent. We will do what we do. And I see that U.S. Talker is in the chat room at ustalknetwork.com and Triple Platinum Steins and Stocks and Rags. And Janessa, happy birthday. I didn't get a chance to extend my birthday greetings to you, and I hope all is well, and that my wish for you for your birthday is that you have enough. That is all that every human being wants, is enough. Information Man, thank you so much, and thank you for your correspondence. And Gloria, East Coast Sam, Chicago Stepper, Big Ralph is in the house, and of course, Alpho. And Alpho did such a tremendous job in keeping the ustalknetwork.com ship moving in the right path. And Lee Michaels, our captain, was on the India Declare show on Friday night, and he certainly gave us the sense that we continue to have a safe harbor at ustalknetwork.com, and I am really happy about that. Some other things that you want to know that, of course, this is Our Common Ground, and I'll be listening for you. We'll be navigating between the two chat rooms, and eventually we will probably just concentrate on the ustalknetwork.com chat room. I'm doing that simply because we don't want to lose anybody, and we certainly hope that you had a great weekend. And we're going to thank India all over again. India Declare has been at the helm of the leadership in helping us pull through the last few days. I want to thank Alpha, and I want to thank Lee Michaels. I've got to figure out this Block Talk radio thing. I didn't know you had to call in on the phone. I thought I could call in and click or something, and I would be with my regular headset, so I'm not sure about quality, the sound quality. And the schedule for the rest of the week is I will be a co-host with India Declare on the India Declare show from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. I do want to mention that if you would like to get updates and status reports and e-bulletins and information about our previous guests or any information about Our Common Ground, that you should go to ourcommonground-talk.com. And you also can join us on Facebook. We do have a fan page, Our Common Ground, with Janice Graham at Facebook. And then, of course, you can follow us on Twitter, and I have a Twitter policy, a tweet policy. A tweet policy is that if I follow you, you must follow me. If you don't follow me, then I won't be following you. How's that? And it's Janice OCG. So good to have all of us and to be back on the air. I did miss you, even for those couple of days. So let's get started. Our topic tonight is the state of Black media and information. We're going to be talking about that. And, of course, we're always going to have our Black history notes, and we're always going to have some clips. So we're going to get started, and when we come back from this, we'll go straight into our topic. And we thank you so much for being with us. Our Black History Notes tonight, I have three of them, actually. And I want to ask, you know, this is our premiere show on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm not really sure how all of this works. So if someone in the ustalknetwork.com chat room can let me know whether or not you can hear me, because I'm hearing India say that she can't get connected, and so let me know if you can hear this, Alpha. Our Black History clips notes tonight. In 1992, we lost Eddie Kendrick. He was one of the original members of the Motown group, The Temptations, and he joined the Ancestors on Today in 1992 after succumbing to lung cancer. And the other is in 1878, George B. Vachon. He joined the Ancestors after succumbing to yellow fever in Rodney, Mississippi. He was the first African-American lawyer in the United States of America. He was an educator and poet whose most famous work was Victor Ogay, which was published in 1854, the first narrative, non-lyrical poem by an African-American writer. His name, George B. Vachon, and he died on this date in 1878. Another note, Monroe Baker was a well-to-do, you know how they used to say that, well-to-do, was a well-to-do African-American businessman in St. Martin, Louisiana. Janessa, you might know where that is. And he was named mayor of St. Martin, and so he is probably the first African-American to serve as a mayor of a U.S. town, and that was in 1867. Monroe Baker. So there you have it. Three African-American memories. Eddie Kendrick died today in 1992. Monroe Baker died in 1867, the first known and recorded mayor of a U.S. city who was African-American. And George B. Vachon died in 1878, and he was the first African-American lawyer to hold a law license, and he died of yellow fever in Rodney, Mississippi. So I'm thinking that one of the things that is probably on the minds of all of us tonight is the whole notion of the state of black media and information. We have lost control of our messages, our message, and our delivery. What is the state of media which is and must be accessed by black people? Last week, we lost the U.S. Talk Network until we find it again. Last week, Johnson Publications announced that they would be either selling Ebony and Jet magazines and that it faces bankruptcy. Essence, Sister to Sister, are owned by large corporations, Time Warner. BET, for all that it is worth, is and never was controlled by us. And today's announcement that Doug Banks will go off the air because his contract was not renewed. That was today. You know, losing Ebony would be beyond sad. So my question tonight is, what is the state of black media and the media from which we get our information and impressions of the world around us? Bev Smith, Imhotep, Gary Bird, Bob Law, Andre Eggleston, Ron Daniels, WBAI, Black Hosts. Are we being smoothed out of the talk, news, and information business? While entertainment, Tavis Smiley and Tom Joyner and Michael Basden, and all of them have some educational contributions on their shows, seems to be the flagships. Let's take a listen.
The human mind is like a computer, no matter how efficient it may be. Its reliability is only as great as the information fed into it. If it is possible to control the inputs of the human mind, then no matter how intelligent a person may be, it's entirely possible to program what he will think. And yes, it's even possible to program people to laugh at the mere mention of the word conspiracy.
His view was that rationality belongs to the cool observer, but because of the stupidity of the average man, he follows not reason but faith. And this naive faith requires necessary illusion and emotionally potent oversimplifications, which are provided by the myth maker to keep the ordinary person on course.
Terrorism, 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 terrorism.
Where does she get her view of the world? Who will be her role models? What values will she have? Whose child is she? Yours or the network's?
Margaret Singer is Emerita Professor of Psychology at Berkeley. Her career has been devoted to the study of mind control.
People think that hypnosis is some mysterious, esoteric thing, and it's not. It's just simply a mental transaction in which a person has focused their attention, they've stopped being critical, and they're more open to suggestion. If someone is looking for people to hypnotize, they know that 85 out of 100 are going to be able to go into some level of trance.
Hypnosis is a natural way of inducing a trance-like state, and we all have the ability to enter into trance.
At many times during every day of our life, we slip into trance-like states, where we become absorbed in watching the television. We become absorbed in reading a book that just gets our attention.
Your living room is the factory. The product being manufactured is you.
And I'm wondering if you listen to what the scholars, the observers, the experts say about what information is, how we receive information and where it comes from, then we can begin to see what really formulates how our entire worldview becomes formulated by the information that we receive. Now, one of the things that's interesting that has always been of interest to me, and I think why I have such place such value on discourse and dialogue about talk radio, is because it is such an essential way in which, in our community, we get the proper perspective on news events, political personalities, and the information that we do receive. You know, I want to ask you a question, and our number is 347-838-9852, if you would like to call us. If you're on the blogtalkradio.com site and you have a headset, you can go right to the top of the page and you're able to simply click on to call us. And talk with us about this whole issue. I think that one of the things that we haven't paid enough attention into our community is particularly about the news. What kind of news we get, how much news we get. So I'm wondering if one of the things that is happening to us is that we simply take whatever information, however it comes to us. Let me give you an example. One of the things that I noted is that not one of the major news networks covered the possibility of Ebony and Jet magazine being sold or no longer being published. And, you know, my question is, why is that important? It's important because it gives you a real glimmer, a real idea about how much of the news that we value as African Americans gets filtered. And that is not specific. I mean, all news in this country gets filtered. One of the reasons that those of us who are looking for good information, solid information about what is going on, that we have to move from one different source of news to another and almost compare the stories and how they're reported and who the people are, and we have to always be very cautious and speculative and scrupulous about who we trust in delivering information, whether it be an elected official, whether it be a news source, whether it be a newspaper, a radio station, or a TV station. I mean, it is almost as though if you look at your local TV station, I mean, take this. You know that this is true. And you can join us in this conversation at 347-838-9852. And you know that this is true, that in your local news coverage, that only the things about African Americans, which are about violence and tragedy, are covered. You know that that is true. So when you think about we need to think about what we are missing. For instance, I was struck that so many people, when I was visiting in Arizona last year, that so many people in Arizona didn't realize that Massachusetts had an African-American governor. I was struck by that. Part of that had to do with most people rely on local news, and local news doesn't cover anything like that. That probably is but if you pick up your local newspaper, if you turn on your local network news, anybody got shot, anybody got killed, any young person who has done something which is criminal, that gets covered. And I wonder why that is. You know, I wonder why, for instance, have you ever seen that in some newspapers, especially in small community newspapers, they run This Day in History? You very rarely see any Black history in This Day in History in little newspapers or on the radio. But you know, I do a history note. and some other black talk show hosts do history notes every day. And you kind of expect that, but you don't expect it. You don't expect it from others. Our number is 347-838-9852. And here at Our Common Ground, which is a ustalknetwork.com product, broadcast product, we'll take your calls to talk about the state of black media and information. How do you get your information? How do you determine whether it is useful information, trustworthy information? How do you decide that you are going to read this newspaper, that newspaper? And we haven't even begun to talk about the whole notion of how we have lost the foundation of black press. How many of you out there have continued to have or had or read as a kid or lost a black newspaper for your community? How many of you have lost a black radio station or what was considered the black radio station, community-based radio station? And do you know why? Some of it may be that the community dispersed. We don't have, we still have, but we are told that we don't have huge pockets of community, black communities in our inner cities, and you know that it's been integrated with people of color. That, you know how they like to use that word, people of color. I laugh at that because there's no such thing as a person of color. If you have a black mother and a white father, you are a biracial child. You are not a person of color. If you are Asian, you are not a person of color. God didn't make any people of color. God made people in groups and in tribes, and we call it in this country race. But we don't want to talk about race anyway, so why should we even talk about it? For our guests, for our listeners, you can call in to 347-838-9852 to join me in this conversation. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll take your calls. We will also like to engage you in what's happening in terms of the state of black media, the state of black information, and how it affects us. You know, one of the things that we have to understand, whatever information that you get is the information which forms your worldview. For instance, I was watching the story last night on 60 Minutes about the Maasai people and the migration of the great wildebeest. It was a very interesting report. And I was looking at the local people, and I was thinking to myself, and I did say it out loud and had somewhat of a conversation about it, what must it be like for African Americans and black people in this country, what must it be like to look at real people, real working people, farmers and housewives sitting in Kenya or Ghana, having conversation about their community problems and the problems with their children and the problems with their cows. I mean, we talk about the problems we have with our dogs and our cats. What must it be like for someone who has never been to Africa and all of their worldview and understanding about what happens on the continent of Africa comes out of white newspapers, white textbooks, white television, and white radio. You're listening to Our Common Ground at ustalknetwork.com, and you all can help me out by giving me a call. We're going to take this break, and we'll come right back.
The human mind is like a computer, no matter how efficient it may be. Its reliability is only as great as the information fed into it. If it is possible to control the inputs of the human mind, then no matter how intelligent a person may be, it's entirely possible to program what he will think. And yes, it's even possible to program people to laugh at the mere mention of the word conspiracy.
You're listening to Our Common Ground at blogtalkradio.com, a product of ustalknetwork.com. And thank you so much for being with us. And I'm going to go into the chat room. India Declare is having such a problem. India, I invite you to call in at 347-838-9852, and you can listen while online. I'm not sure what has happened with your little computing machine. It sounds like something has, maybe it's cashing out or something. For those of you who are joining us, Our Common Ground will be broadcasting from Blog Talk Radio and the India Declare Show from 8 to 10 for the remainder of this week. And we are so pleased and honored for India Declare to have invited us to join her in order to continue the broadcast of Our Common Ground, because we certainly can't do this from 11 to 1 o'clock 5 days a week. Tonight we're talking about the state of black media and information. I'm specifically talking about the notion of losing. It would be so sad to lose Ebony and Jet for so many reasons. Our children certainly need them as references today. I mean, I'm not, I think that the images and the messages of both Ebony and Jet are important in our community. We have lost our community radio stations. We have lost our community newspapers. We have a call coming in from a 773, and you're on the air. I respect you. Thank you for joining me. What is your name, please, and where are you calling from?
My name is...
Oh, it's the mayor of ustalknetwork.com. Also, thank you so much for your call.
Good evening, Janice. How are you this evening?
I'm good, thank you.
You know, Janice, I can always count on you to raise a topic, raise the issue, raise the consciousness of exactly what's going on and the questions that needs to be asked, especially about a black media. And these wheels were set in place, this entire scenario that we are now seeing play itself out, had been set in place years ago. And this is basically the culmination of this plan to seize the airways. And if you, as you know, that if you can seize the airways, the most powerful weapon it is, you can seize the perception of the minds of the people. Like the clip said, they can make you believe that conspiracy is a laughable word, that there's never a conspiracy, ever a conspiracy that has been hatched that they will take seriously. So
yeah.
When you start talking about the state, the nature of black media, this is something that we once again are simply reacting to. I truly believe that all of this has been set in motion years ago, as much as 10, 12 years ago, 15 years ago. And this just didn't come, you know, just by chance. This is not a chance happening. The demise and the downfall of the black media, even the, you know, and when you start talking magazines and just the whole nine yards, here in Chicago, we had a newspaper. It was called The Defender. And The Defender flourished for decades. And as it, you know, reached the final days of its existence, and it may even still be in existence, I don't know, because the last I heard, they were down to producing something once a week or once every 2 weeks or something like that. And in this theater of operations, that's just not going to cut it, because no one is, who's going to pick up a paper and check out a week, 4-day-old news? No one. You know, so this is something that, you know, it's a two-pronged situation.
Well, you know, there are lots of things, Alpha, and you know, one of my biggest problems with this whole thing about media is that there are things that are happening in our community. Young men and women are being killed. Police are running rapid. And our business and economic infrastructures are falling apart. Our churches are lying, and we don't have the ability to tell the truth, and people are being scammed, and we have no ability to get them straight.
And the beat goes on.
And the beat goes on. You're absolutely right.
And the beat goes on. This is not by chance.
No, it is not by chance.
Not,
you know, for instance, the first thing, you know, it goes back to the root. I hate to say it, and people are going, if you disagree with me, you can call at 347-838-9852. If you disagree with me, you have the right to disagree with me. But I will tell you, this started when what we call the civil rights era took the wrong path, went off the rails, or whatever, however you want to say it. When we decided that white radio was better than black radio simply because it started playing black music, that was the first wheel off the rail. Because we lost stations and we lost our ability to stay in touch with our own community. Is that something like white ice, Alpha?
Well, I look at it, you're absolutely right, but it's a two-pronged situation where that was a significant part of it, but the inability of that station, the African-American stations, to keep up with, you know, the times and to keep up with, you know, innovation and, you know, the simple thing, you know.
Well, the fact is that we never owned the stations in the first damn place.
Yes.
Okay. But the other part of it is that we, no matter how it came, We had the ability to know what was going on in our community, who was doing what and when.
And right now?
And right now.
We got no clue.
We got no clue, and we have no infrastructure to go back to what we gave up.
And only a handful of us know it.
You know, we need to start asking the question, who killed black radio? I mean, Glenn Floyd at blackagendareport.com many years ago, a lot of years ago, started writing about the notion of black radio not carrying news. And we ended up about 5 years after he wrote that first essay, we ended up with radio stations, black radio stations, that started reading news out of the local newspaper. Then we ended up with black radio stations, black audience market radio stations, that carried no news at all. So then we had to rely on news that of no news. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And then when that went by the board and we thought that, you know, when I was a kid, when I was at elementary school, I used to be the photo news captain for my neighborhood, which meant that every Wednesday I had to go pick up the newspapers and deliver them to the homes where there was people who subscribed. And then I had to take about 100 of them up to the church. So when people came to my church on Sunday morning, they could pick up the black newspaper. Then everybody listened to the black radio station or the radio station that had black music on Sunday morning, because people were on there telling you about what was going to happen in the community the next week and what the school board was going to do and what the black elementary school was going to do and what the black high school was going to do. And then you had sports people who told you what was going on with the black school sports programs. I mean, we need to understand that as much as we progressed in the civil rights era, we equally lost. And we gained some things through struggle, and we lost some things because we stopped struggling.
We had no due diligence.
That's right.
We would not continue.
That's right. And now you've got to rely on Keith Olbermann, who does not understand the nature of white supremacy, Chris Matthews, who does not understand the nature of white supremacy, and Rachel Maddow and Ed Schultz, none of them understand the nature of white supremacy, and thereby they filter the news based on what they call liberal thought. And every liberal ain't free of racism.
I find it very interesting that at some point, and I think that out of, you know, all of the things and mistakes that were made in the struggle of civil rights, the biggest mistake was made when we allowed the powers that be to redefine the, instead of using black, they use the term minority. Therefore, they were able to spread it out. They were
mm-hmm.
able take black people and use the word minority against them because it just didn't include black people. When the civil rights bills were passed and written, instead of it basically saying black, it changed black to minorities. That was the biggest error made, and it was one of those unforeseen errors, because you know you can't blame our leaders at the time from not a fault of due diligence. There was no fault there.
They
slipped one in.
Hey, Alpha, can I put you on hold?
Absolutely.
And I'm going to take another call from area code 281. You're on the air. I respect you. What is your name and where are you calling from, please?
Fine, thanks, Alpha. So good to hear your voice, sir. I just wanted to shine your listening to you here because I've got to make a story somewhere else.
Now I'm not hearing anybody.
Am I still on hold, Janice?
Yeah. No, you're not on hold. You can be heard. But I'm not hearing the caller.
Oh, hello?
Hello. Is this India?
Jesus.
Okay, Alpha, that was India calling in so she can listen. Go ahead and make your point. And for those of you who would like to join us, the number is 347-838-9852. I was wondering why I was hearing Alpha twice. There are people who are saying that, Alpha, you need to talk louder. Do I need to talk louder, too? Because I can hear Alpha pretty good. Let me know by in the chat room. Natty Reb is in the house tonight. Hello, my sister. And she is sending me a holler saying, teach. Yes, ma'am. That's what it's all about. That's what we have lost, Alpha. We have lost our ability to teach in our community because there are some lessons that were learned through the tribal community process. And right now, we've lost that. Alpha, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. We really have lost that. And I really I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to take a break. But when we come back, we'll continue to talk about the state of black media and information and how important it is for us to be able to control our messages, our message, and the delivery of that message. We'll be right back.
His view was that rationality belongs to the cool observer. But because of the stupidity of the average man, he follows not reason but faith. And this naive faith requires necessary illusion and emotionally potent oversimplifications, which are provided by the mythmaker to keep the ordinary person on course.
Terrorism, 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 terrorism.
Lies become truth. put a media system controlled by a few global corporations with the ability to overwhelm all competing voices, be able to turn lies into truth.
In 1994, with Newt Gingrich in charge of the House, we had a gentleman to offer him several million dollars to write his memoirs. And as a result, we had the Telecommunications Act of 1996, and we now have about five corporations that control almost everything that we see here and read, because they also bought up most of the publishing houses. And as a result, we're in a terrible bind in this country. And so as a FCC commissioner, one of the first things I would do is sponsor a repeal of the Telecommunications Act of 1996. That's where we ought to go. We ought to make certain that they understand that their control of this government is at an end, and that's where the progressive movement must take us, because unless in 1994, with Newt Gingrich in charge of the House, we had a gentleman to offer him several million dollars to write his memoirs. And as a result, we had the Telecommunications Act of 1996, and we now have about five corporations that control almost everything that we see, hear, and read, because they also bought up most of the publishing houses. And as a result, we're in a terrible bind in this country. And so as a FCC commissioner, one of the first things I would do is sponsor a repeal of the Telecommunications Act of 1996. That's where we ought to go. We ought to make certain that they understand that their control of this government is at an end, and that's where the progressive movement must take us, because unless we do that, we're going to become a full-blown fascist state. We're on the way to doing that right now. So,
you're listening to Our Common Ground at ustalknetwork.com. Thank you so much for being with us here tonight in our launching of Our Common Ground at blogtalkradio.com. And I want to thank Ms. India DeClaire for her leadership in keeping the ustalknetwork.com family together. We've got Alpha on the line, and we're going to go to another call, Alpha, in area code 770. You're on the air. I respect you. Thank you for your call. What is your name, and where are you calling from?
Yeah, I'm Sarge 57. I'm calling from the Atlanta area.
Sarge, Hotep, my brother. Good to have you with us tonight.
And back at you, ma'am. I'll be glad to talk to you. I heard your guest on the line say that an error in civil rights legislation was the universal application of such laws to all minorities. And I'd like to beg to differ with that. I don't think that's the way you can write law unless you're writing law for Yugoslavia.
Well,
the United States,
Sarge, I think you might have misunderstood what he said. He said, in calling us minorities.
Okay, well, it doesn't make any difference. The application of the law in the United States under the Constitution, by the way, I'm not one of those people who say I don't see color. I always see color. It's one of the first things I note. as well as I note someone's apparent gender, the color of their hair, their eye color, how tall they are, how much they apparently weigh. I mean, I don't ignore color. Why should you ignore color anymore? You ignore any other aspect of a human being. What you shouldn't do is make a value judgment about that person based on their color. So therefore, I go back to, again, when it comes to the law should be absolutely colorblind. Laws have to be constructed so they are universal. And there is no need in the law to say that a person should not be discriminated against on the basis of race, color, creed, or sex. You simply say it is illegal to do so no matter what. The law is, should always, at least under our concept of law in the United States and the United States Constitution, laws must be objective and universal to the extent that they can be. Now, the
Let me ask Alpha for a clarification, because that is not what I heard him saying. Alpha, you're still on the line.
I would only offer to say this. When, as the civil rights movement was on, was ongoing, it was black, black, black. It wasn't, there was no mention of minorities. There was no mention, and I understand fully what the what you're saying about, you know, the laws must be, you know, colorblind, and we all know, we all understand that the laws must be colorblind. And the laws, the written law of being colorblind, is basically not happening. You can write the law as colorblind, but it is not applicable. And I know the difference between what the intent and what the spirit of that law is. So when I mentioned the fact that, you know, all during the civil rights movement, the word minority was watered down to mean anyone, anyone other than the white race. And when
And the problem with that is?
Well, I'm not differing, you know, or begging to differ with what you say, except for it hasn't come to fruition, even with the word minority.
Yes, sir. But look, we're human beings. If you accept the Christian Bible, I don't know if you do or not, and I don't say you have to. I'm not saying you have to, but since that is a foundational, cornerstone, philosophical work of our civilization, if you accept the notion of human beings expressed in the Bible and Adam and Eve and the fallen and the whole thing with Genesis, then human beings are imperfect. They will always be imperfect, and their application of the law, therefore, will always be imperfect. That does not gainsay the fact that you still have to have laws that are written objectively and universally. Yes, you are correct. It has not been perfect. It will never be.
Well,
so
I
therefore
think
what? Are we, so therefore what? Are we supposed to create not a colorblind law, but a law that takes into account color? Then in that case, we have defeated the entire purpose of the United States Constitution,
Sarge,
no matter how imperfectly it was realized.
Sarge, I think that a much more germane part of this discussion that we really do need to explore is, and I really do think Alpha was saying that the implication in using the word minority is that it equals less, that it means subordinate or less than when you call a people a minority.
Well, most laws, well, yeah, most, and again, most of those laws, I've read some of those laws that have to do with FEC.
Yeah.
And, like,
yes.
And I object to
yes.
them.
Is
I don't
a,
like them. I think they violate the spirit of the Constitution, not the actual letter law.
But one of the things that we have to understand is what is called the surface matter of a law, that on its face, the law looks as though it is race neutral. But in its application, the impact is that it is race conscious or has a racial impact. And
again,
that is more important than whether or not the law has specifically written itself in the context in which it was written that it is race neutral.
Well, that argument allows you to make an argument that homicide laws disproportionately affect black people. Sure they do. Black people commit a disproportionate number of homicides. The fact that we have a homicide law does not in and of itself, because it has a disparate impact, mean that it is per se in and of
I'm
itself
not saying
racist
all law.
I'm
not saying all law. I'll give you an example. An example is the laws which prohibit cocaine distribution and use and crack cocaine distribution and use. You see, on the face of it, it seems those laws seem to be race neutral, but its impact has a discriminatory result.
Ma'am, I'm a retired Illinois State policeman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fully aware of the disparate impact of this because of the crack cocaine use and trafficking. And I would like to remind you the genesis of that law. It came as a result of the importuning of many in the black community, particularly those in leadership committees, for more stringent enforcement action against crack cocaine.
You're absolutely
That's how it originated. Now, I wouldn't have done it, frankly. I wouldn't have done it.
Absolutely right, Sarge.
I wouldn't have done it. I object. I'm fairly much opposed to most drug law. But the fact that it was done, and the fact even if it does have disparate impact on the black community, is no reason not to have the law. There are other reasons, but that is not one of them, nor should it be one of them. The answer is if black people don't want to be disparately impacted by an illegal activity, the answer is to stop or reduce the illegal activity, not to obsess over how much is disparately affecting the black community. Unless it was an absolutely valid reason for it, I cannot think of, once it's been declared illegal, I can't think of a valid reason to say, well, black people need to be allowed to have their crack cocaine and have less of an impact for the enforcement of. Especially when that's trafficking, unlike in the white community, to the extent that it does in a black community, creates so much chaos in the black community. White people may be using drugs too, but I tell you what, they don't have wholesale trafficking on street corners and the same kind of disruption and chaos that you have in the black community.
I think you have to also, sir, and I really do respect your opinion, and to some degree you have expert opinion about it. I don't think that anyone is supporting the notion that crack cocaine should be legal in this country.
No, not illegal. I said us lamenting the fact that there is, I agree with you, there is a disparate impact. More blacks are locked up with, there's no doubt. You're absolutely correct. I'm not even going to argue that. I'm saying that we shouldn't be lamenting it because there is. I said the solution is to reduce the illegal activity, not lament the fact. I'd rather repeal the law, frankly. But since the law is there, you can't sit up there and cry about it when it was arrived at through a legal Republican method, a constitutional, there's no constitutional right to cocaine. If it was arrived at in a legally, constitutionally Republican manner, I'm not going to lament about the fact that there's a disparate impact. I'm sorry, I'm just not.
Okay, but this is what I want to point out to you, and that the way in which you think about a law, our Constitution and the principles of our Bill of Rights prepares us to act through a principle of justice. Disparate impact is not justice.
I disagree.
And that's why it becomes
important. I disagree with you.
Yeah.
There was a disparate amount of vigilante Ku Klux Klan activity in the white community. I think the white community, to the extent that it was carrying on such actions, should have been disparately impacted by proper enforcement of laws against Ku Klux Klan vigilantism.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't matter what the race of the person is if it's illegal. Whatever is illegal should be enforced. And yes, some things that will be enforced will have a disparate the white community is disparately impacted by laws against crank and meth. They use more of it than people in the black community do. They should be disparately impacted by it since it's illegal.
But if you understand, and I don't want to get too technical here, but if you understand how disparate impact analysis is done, and if you counter that with a consideration of police profiling, if you counter that with the consideration of what has happened to any infrastructure that we might control in our own community, if you counter with a number of considerations, then you look at disparate impact in a very different way. Sarge, I really appreciate your call, and you're a new caller. I don't have any new caller music.
I'm sorry, ma'am, but I just have to say, this disparate impact, I think, is a tool that can be used for too much mischief and nefariousness to allow it to stand as a legal principle. I reject it utterly.
It's not a legal principle. It's a way of measuring justice.
Well, I think it tends toward obfuscation. It will lead you into obfuscation and an ability to properly analyze problems.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I absolutely reject it.
I hear you. For what you've seen and the kind of service that you've done as a professional, I can understand where you're coming from.
I do.
But,
I used to believe the way you did. I honestly was a liberal once, but being a police officer kind of turned me around. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
I see all the impact of liberalism and liberal think and the way liberals do things and the way they phrase things. I'm telling you, I just had to reject all that. I saw too much destruction that it caused. I could no longer accept it. I could not wrap my mind on these concepts.
I see the destruction that it causes. I can't wrap my mind around it, but I see some other reasons why the destruction is happening, and I see another path to how you fix it. But let me just say this to you. I do want to say this to you. I used to be kind and joyful and a person filled with laughter, and a police officer turned me against. I had to say that.
Hey, I don't blame you a bit. Look, I know lots of cops who were jerks, okay?
Yeah.
I know this. And people tell me stories about police misconduct. Man, I don't sit there out and out rejecting that.
Mm-hmm.
I do posit one thing to you about cops. Most cops I know, even the lazy ones, and there are lazy ones out there, most cops I know do desire to do something heroic. When they go to work, in the back of their mind is always a possibility they may be called upon to do something heroic and do something heroic, put themselves at risk for somebody.
Yes.
Most of them will do that. I guarantee you they will. Trust me
out of all the things cops may do right or wrong,
even the corrupt
ones, I agree.
Will put themselves on the line to save somebody else.
I agree. Sarge, you're new to us. You're not new to – I've seen your name. I think I sent you a birthday wish once.
Did you really? Well, thank you very much, ma'am.
Check on ustalknetwork.com website.
I didn't know that was a website.
Oh,
really?
I'm sorry. How did you find us?
Well, I'm a regularly, you know, surf blog talk radio, see what's on.
Oh, wow.
And I took a look at what's going on. And, you know, like, you build yourself as a progressive, you know, network.
Yeah, I am progressive.
And I love to engage people who claim that I'm a conservative. I'm a constitutional conservative. I love to engage people who don't agree with me. I prefer clarity to agreement. I want to test ideas against one another. And I want to let people decide which is the best idea.
Well, let me tell you that we're going to be on the India Declare show tomorrow night at 8 p.m. At 8 p.m. because we're going to be talking.
What's the name again? India Declare?
The India Declare show.
India, is that one word, India Declare?
India Declare, but she does declare.
Oh, okay.
And you can go to ustalknetwork.com.
ustalknetwork.com.
And you can find the finest progressive talk radio on the internet and the program schedule right there.
Oh, I love to do battle with progressive.
And since you're a constitutional conservative,
yes,
and
ma'am.
I'm a progressive liberal leaning towards socialist talk show host, I welcome you.
We've got to fight. We've got to fight. I mean, you got to do
it. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm loving that brother.
All right. I love you too, sister. Good.
I got some medicine for you.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Well, look here. I'm prepared. I'm prepared to lace up the gloves and get it on.
Okay.
You got a referee there. That's all good. You know, I'm used to dealing with referees, and I used to box in the Army, too.
Oh, no, I don't need...
We can do that. But all I'm saying is that, you know, as long as...
You were talking with Alpho, and Alpho is the host of the Alpho Show on Block Talk Radio on Saturdays at 3 p.m.
Well,
and he was a caller just like you.
Alpho?
I've got the Alpho Show.
Oh, okay.
at 3 p.m. on Saturdays. Thank you so much, Sarge. I'm loving you.
Thank you, Sarge.
I love you too, man. Good luck.
I got something for you.
I'll be happy. Next time, we'll get it on again. I love it.
Okay.
I love it. The battle of ideas is the best fight of all.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarge.
Alpha, we're going to go to area code 916. Welcome to Our Common Ground with Janice Graham. You're on the air. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Oh, how you doing, Graham? This is Mr. Information Man from
Information Man. Thank you for joining us and thank you for being with us tonight.
Information Man.
How are you? How are you doing? Well, good to hear you. I was listening to the discussion. I know you were talking about media issues, and it seemed like it got a little bit off topic there, but it was very interesting what Sarge was talking about.
The one thing
that Sarge forgets about is that not only it's not just black folks or any folks that commit crime because they're black. You have black folks, well, we have black folks that don't commit any crime like myself that can be profiled. I can be, my friends and I, we've been profiled many times, whether it be the car we drive, the clothes we have on, whatever. You can be profiled just by just being black in America for whatever reason. So you don't necessarily have to be a person doing crime or drugs to be profiled by the system.
Well, I don't think he was talking about profiling. I think he was mostly talking about the whole issue of that we shouldn't rely upon consideration of we shouldn't rely upon the consideration of injustice in our laws. And that is something that we have to measure justice in our laws, because there are laws that simply don't work. So you know, Sarge is saying in the chat room that he's a Declaration of Independence constitutional conservative. And that is why he rejects the Obama administration. And see, my point is that there are things which are forming the worldview of black people. And those things have so many holes in them. I mean, if you listen to some of the right wing pundits and talking heads, and Sarge doesn't sound like he is a black person who necessarily would support people like Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh. Now, I didn't ask him that, so I don't know.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, how can anybody align themselves with that type of ideology? The fact that you have black folks that are out there that are Republicans, you know, that's examined the relevance of black Republicans. What's the agenda behind them? Mainly, they spend most of their time arguing and criticizing the black community. There is no other relevance to black conservatives.
Well, you know, that's part of the problem. That's part of what has shredded. When I say that our educational infrastructure, I'm not necessarily talking about our schools, but I'm talking about how lessons are passed on in black families, how lessons are passed on in our communities. And we have a whole generations of black people who have no information, then another generation that has bad information, and then another generation, you know, we can talk about this Joshua generation, where they want to be, they want to think race neutral. And there's no such thing as race neutrality in this country. You know,
I had a professor in college, I took a class in college, and he said if anyone ever came up to you any job or anything and told you that there's no such thing as a that they're colorblind, that this is a colorblind society. He said, get away from them as far as you can.
Exactly. I've got to take another call, information man, but I really appreciate you made some good points, and I do think that we have people who have been hurt, terribly hurt intellectually about how to think about themselves as African Americans and as Black people by virtue of not having an educational structure, infrastructure, not having newspapers. I mean, can you imagine a generation, as we talked about on India Declare's show the other day, can you imagine having a generation of children who have never seen an Ebony magazine or a Jet magazine?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I got to go to another call. Information man, thank you so much. Join me tomorrow night on the India Declare show at 8 p.m.
Okay. Take care.
You too. Thank you. Hold up, my brother.
All right, Info Man.
Oh, wow. We had a caller that dropped. Alpha, thank you for staying with me, because I think that, you know, one of the things that it is clear, you know, I talk about intellectual and cultural intelligence all the time. And we have Black people who have no cultural intelligence, have no racial intelligence, and they can't figure out what they're missing, let alone to try to find it. I'm going to go to my next caller. You're on the air. I respect you. What is your name, and where are you calling from, please?
Onamusa, this is Marpessa. I'm calling from Wilmington, Delaware.
Well, welcome, Marpessa, to our common ground. I'm Janice Graham, and I've been listening for you. What are your thoughts and comments?
What I wanted to do was share something briefly on this whole idea of Black media. It is called The Sting of Betrayal, written by Mumia Abu-Jamal in 1981.
Absolutely.
It's brief, and hopefully your listeners will find it of interest. She wrote this to the general manager of WDAS at that time, named Cody Anderson.
Yes, she Cody Anderson, Philadelphia radio master.
All right, well, here we go, because it's not too long, but it's powerful, I believe. Several years ago, in late 1978, while working to prepare a newscast on my weekend shift at WDAS News, I turned around to see two men, then General Manager Bob Klein and you, then Assistant General Manager Cody Anderson, standing in the doorway of the newsroom. I recall clearly that both of you had warm words of praise for me, like, I just want to say I really like the way you do news, and one added, you really sound good. The words were warm and welcoming. I smiled, thanked the both of you, and prepared the next hour's newscast. Several days ago, you, Cody, now general manager, remarked during a phone conversation with me, I respect you and your work, Wilmia, but I believe you have a problem working within the established framework. Sound familiar, Cody? Soon thereafter, you were quoted by a DAS news staffer as saying, quote, he's good, but he doesn't fit the image of the station. It's not the image we here at DAS want to project, unquote. Is that a true, honest quotation, excuse me, image? Are we talking about a radio station or a TV station? And whose image can I project but my very own? In the past 3 years, my hair has grown long in a form some people call dreadlocks. Also in that time, excuse me, I've worked in white radio, producing pieces good enough to garner a 1980 Major Armstrong Award, first place news, along with other staffers at WUHY's 91 Report, which whipped KYW for the prize, a coveted one. Members of the local Association of Black Journalists elected me president of the group. Although I worked at a so-called white radio station, I produce shows dealing with the depth of the African experience in America. Repeated prison interviews with members of the MOVE organization, a group largely ignored by the so-called black media. Concise, sensitive coverage of their murder trial. Pieces on the housing problems of Philadelphia and Camden, New Jersey City Council, Republic of New Africa, the Yoruba community, the visit of Rastafari and Bob Marley, Nigerian next president Nnamdi Azikiwe, and countless others, Hugh Masekela, the Pointer Sisters. What is this image nonsense? Because a man's hair grows long, does that hamper his ability to write, report, broadcast, think? Why are so-called dreadlocks so objectionable at a so-called black radio station when it was a non-issue at a white one? Was it objectionable when, for almost 10 years, Georgie Woods wore a conch, a process? Was it objectionable when jocks at DAS began to sport the new fad, California curls, another process? What about a jock who gets a hair transplant to regrow hair? Any objection to those images? I don't think so. When a black man stops combing his own hair, which grows out of his own head in the form of his father's and projects his own image, one is African as the African seed that produces mm-hmm. him, another black man objects.
You know, my Pasta, where can my listeners get this letter?
I can post it for you. It's a little too long. Let me just read the last paragraph.
Yeah, okay.
I'll get to the point. He's saying that, well, to make a long story short, he was being taken off of the station for this reason because
yeah.
he refused to cut his hair. He said he would not grin and bear it and wait for a better offer. He would not produce work meant for black men's and black ears for a white station. He was going to continue to fight and struggle to right this wrong. His commitment to the rightness of the struggle of the African to find dignity wherever he walks. His whole point was this. He wanted to work for a black radio station. For people
mm-hmm.
that want to do good radio work on behalf of the people, the people who have no voice, they need to feel free to be themselves where they're at. If there's not even a place for a black person to be who he's at, then there's no point for that black media to exist.
Exactly.
So
yes.
what is the point now is not anything that is really speaking to the suffering of our people, period. It is just a copy mimicking mainstream media that exists for white people. So that was basically my whole point.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry.
And the thing is that I really appreciate it, Marpessa, my sister. I love you. I have loved you for years.
I love you too, sister.
And one of the things that we have to begin to understand is that just as a previous caller, that whatever information we get in, we use that information to measure other information.
That's right. That's right.
So
it's sad to see some of our old, I think it's an important point that we are losing some of the establishment, black media.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, they have to also be called into account. What have they done for us lately, like Janet Jackson would say?
Yeah.
If you go to Google Jet, Google Ebony, you can see back in the day they were relevant.
Mm-hmm.
But now,
mm-hmm.
to me, they only serve as more like Access Hollywood for blacks.
Yes. And they are mirroring. If you take Ebony, you're absolutely right. If you take Ebony magazine and you take People magazine or a magazine like that, they are mirroring. But part of the problem, Marpessa, you may have a point of disagreement, is that is the way that they think, just like in some talk radio shows, that is the way that they think that we will, that is the way in which we will buy it. They have to package it to mirror the mainstream media because they think that black people want that mirroring.
That's
you
true.
See what I'm saying?
But I also remember when, like, BET used to have a show called Teen Summit where
mm-hmm.
they would try to promote to the young people, alternative ways of thinking. It wasn't necessarily anything you would call progressive, but just informative, that they got rid of that. The BET used to have a news program. We all know, you know, how foul BET's legacy became.
Yes.
But people were gravitating towards that. People didn't miss that.
Yes. Like, yeah, you're absolutely right.
For something, it's put there, it's supported, it's taken away and replaced. It's almost like a conspiracy to keep information away from people that could use it to actually uplift
yes.
us out of what we're being fed as being sanity into something that's insanity. Like they
yes.
say, garbage in, garbage out.
Yep. Yeah, you're right.
Garbage, we're going to keep giving out garbage, our young people.
Yes.
Our people in general. So I'm not
Mark Pastor, you've
going.
Been an activist in Philadelphia for a very long time.
In the area, yeah. I'm in Delaware, actually, but
yeah.
close enough.
And one of the things that it is critical is to think through what are the solutions to our information barriers.
Exactly.
You know, we don't, you know, I am reluctant to say to people, you need to be protesting Fox News. I think we ought to be going to the ones that are doing it better, like MSNBC, and saying to them, you have to do a better job, a more thorough job of your news coverage of African-American culture and events.
Right. Well, I'm of the mind that we can multitask.
Okay.
We can take it to one way and take it to the
all right.
the other ones the other way. And then what you're doing here is so vital. It's so important. I mean, how much time do you invest into this project? It's incredible what you're doing. And anybody that's doing independent media, the people that are putting together this production, you being the talent, and I mean, it is some serious fire that you put out and all of the knowledge that you present. I mean, how do we bring that from the internet into the community? Well, we need more in the community is independent and clear ideas. And
exactly.
Young people have so much creativity. I mean, they'll throw up something that you won't even know existed, that all of a sudden everybody would be talking about just because of their own underground network. I think
mm-hmm.
we have to use our young people to get out our positive messages, and they're down with the program if only we would give them a chance.
If only we would give them a chance and build the infrastructure that they need to continue to do it.
That's
Mark Pastor,
right.
thank you so much, and I hope you will join us. I'm just so pleased and delighted to have seen you in the chat room tonight.
Thank you, my sister. Stay strong. Peace, everyone.
Stay strong to you and Amandla. That was Mark Pastor from Delaware. We still have Alpha on the line. He's holding my hand kind of to see. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Our Common Ground at at blogtalkradio.com/OCG. This is Our Common Ground. Our number is 347-838-9852. Let me tell you what I'm selling tonight. I am selling a product that you all need. It is a product that you can deliver to yourself, and I hope that you will have the chance to do it. It is, as Mark Pastor said, stay black and stay strong. We'll be right back. And we're back from that break. That was a pretty easy break, huh, Alpha? We've got a call from area code 281. Thank you for joining with us at 281. I think that's India DeClaire. So we'll put her on hold. because she's listening over the phone. You're listening to Our Common Ground at Blog Talk Radio. We are a ustalknetwork.com product. Our ustalknetwork.com live broadcasting capacity has been suspended for a very short time, so we are making every effort to continue Talk That Matters from ustalknetwork.com. We've got Big Ralph in the ustalknetwork.com chat room, and Cheese Biscuit. Thank you, Cheese Cookie, for joining with us. Stocks, Triple Steins, and East Coast Sam. India Declare is in the house tonight, and we thank her so much for her leadership at US Talk Network. Chicago Stepper took her nap, came back. You know, this is really strange to be broadcasting at 12:36 in the morning. Let's see, we're going to go to our Blog Talk Radio chat room where Sarge and Alpho and Stephen C., thank you for being with us, and Rags and Steins are having just a nice, friendly little chat. Our new listener, Sarge57, is looking for President Barack Obama's birth certificate. How nice.
How far it didn't sound.
Good. Good luck on that one.
He didn't come in sounding like that. He came in as a upstanding, nice constitutional.
Oh, yeah. He's a nice conservative, black conservative.
And now I'm going to find out he's off on the deep end.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, there's one on every show. You know, I do want to make a comment about some stuff. You know, this is Blog Talk Radio. I hope you don't have any children in the room. About the bullshit that went on at the ustalknetwork.com chat room during the India Declare show this morning. You know, sometimes black people make me shake my head, shake my feet, and look at my shoe to see if there are any little pebbles, because I get graded a little bit. The bullshit with black people have got to stop. We've got too much other stuff to do. When you have an ulterior motive, you know, I say this to my grandchildren, I say this to anybody that will listen, that people who are of the nature where they have to be unkind, they lack charity, and they lack common sense, just about piss me off, because especially people of my generation, there is no excuse for black people who grew up in the 60s, the 50s, 60s, and 70s, grew up, to be tacky and wrong and ill-spirited with other black people. Because we learned and had the lessons before us. No reason whatsoever. And see, it seems like something happens all the time. Something happens all the time that makes me cuss on the air. I was on the air for 8 years and never said a curse word except for that one time when my mic was open and it was supposed to be closed. But we have to stand up with a backbone that is built on the dignity and the shoulders of those who came before us. And we have to be willing to say stop. We have to be willing to say no more. and we have to be willing to defend to the death that people do who do right by us. And I'm going to say this, and y'all can take it back to whoever you want to take it back to, but Andre Eggleston and Lee Michaels have been the stalwarts in supporting us and doing right by our people. And I will defend them even when they are wrong. I will cuss them out when they're wrong, but I will defend them. It's just like my daughter. I can be raising all up and down hell, but you better not step up to her because you'll have me to deal with. Well, one thing, you'll have her to deal with, and I may not ever have to get in it because my daughter is takes no prisoners. But we have to defend the people who are good to us. Like Reverend Al Sharpton, nobody better never step up and say jack crap dap to me because I know what he has done. Nobody better ever, if Jesse Jackson don't do nothing in his life from this day forward, he has done enough in our interest. You hear me? You feeling me? We have to know. One of the reasons why we lost Malcolm, one of the reasons we lost Reverend Martin Luther King, one of the reasons we lost Adam Clayton Powell. I am the Adam Clayton Powell of 2009. I don't step back from nothing in which I hold as part of my principles. Now, Alpha, the crap that happened in the chat room, that is our chat room. These are our brothers. Step back. Step the hell back. Because I was nice in the chat room this morning. I was nicer in that kind of situation simply because Andre was there. But if that crap had happened because Andre was there, I'd have come through this computer monitor. And we have to respect each other. And if we can't respect each other, don't expect to be respected. You hear me, Alpha?
Well, I mean, I agree with you on that point, but you have to consider the source. And this source came from someone who has changed their name four times, and each time she gets into a little skirmish, she storms out of the room and takes her ball and goes home. And then when she comes back under a different name, and everything is supposed to be all forgiven, and all her are supposed to be set aside.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Okay. Okay, we know who we're dealing with. I just could not have this broadcast tonight without saying something about it. Because you know what? There was no elephant in the room until someone spoke. You know, so I do want to move on. Alpha, I want to thank you for staying with me. Our call-in line is at 347-838-9852. You're listening to Our Common Ground at blogtalkradio.com/OCG. It's the Our Common Ground with Janice Graham show. Tomorrow night and all for the rest of the week, I'll be joining Miss India DeClaire as the co-host of her show, because we cannot get an 8 to 10 time slot on Blog Talk Radio, and we will also be investigating some other platforms in which we might be able to use to bring our show. I don't want to wear out my welcome with Miss India because, you know, she is a good sister. I love that girl. She will always have a place in the village in my heart. Alpha, we're going to continue our discussion on the state of black media and information. I have two clips talking about media in general in this country. Let's take a look. Listen.
The issue is whether the media are free. Are the media, by their institutional structure, free to allow expression of opinion from whatever source and looking at any topic and so on and so forth? So if it turned out that 80% of journalists were part of one faction of the business party rather than another faction of the business party, would that tell you anything?
Even if you take these studies at their face value, there are a number of flaws with them. Perhaps the most important one is that they assume that it's the journalists rather than the owners, the advertisers, the news shapers, or the news makers, who control the manufacture of news. That's a bit like saying that the workers on the factory floor decide what the car industry produces.
It's long been understood, you know, hundreds of years, that unless people are controlled, they're going to challenge power. They will not simply willingly accept subordination, domination, hunger, and so on. Nobody's going to accept that if they have choices. So it is therefore necessary for those who are in the positions of control decision-making, monopolized wealth, and so on, it is necessary for them to somehow keep the population from their throats, as they put it. And that can either be done by force, or as force, that capacity declines by control of opinion. There's no other method.
And Alpha, there you have it. Yeah, you have this whole notion that was Noam Chomsky. And you have this whole notion of understanding that somewhere in the 60s and 70s, within the black community, what he called the monopoly of wealth group started to chip away at black voice. You know, that's how I interpret what he's saying. And now you have the monopoly of wealth chipping away at our voice.
Well, they've been chipping away at our voice for a long time. You know, one of the interesting things that I heard today was that the ninth richest man in the world is the man who funds most of the right wing foundations.
Energy companies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he funds most of the work that has been done by the teabaggers and the what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Freedom Works.
And the Freedom Works, exactly. So that is what Chomsky is saying about the moneyed monopoly.
Exactly.
That it's coming from everywhere. I mean, we saw it most during the Nixon years, the Reagan years, both Bush years, in terms of the military industrial complex. We saw it in the Clinton years in regard to the pharmaceutical companies and the Bush years in regard to the pharmaceutical companies. I mean, this man that you're talking about spent millions of dollars floating the notion that there is no such thing as global climate change and floating the notion that we ought to oppose any regulatory, major, significant regulatory effort toward what the Bush, what the Obama administration is calling the green era.
Well,
know why? He wants to continue to sell oil, continue
absolutely.
To sell coal, and that is the point. So we've got to really pay attention to what these people are doing. Alpha, thank you so much for staying with us here tonight at Our Common Ground, holding my hand, getting me through this blog talk radio thing. This is, I think it's so important for us to even begin to ponder and consider that we may be getting information that is formed for us to get rather than information that is accurate and that speaks to our cultural, community, and individual needs.
Well,
you know, Sard, you know, Marpessa said something very important, that we've got to be two-pronged. One, we've got to get, if we can get Ebony, keep, maintain Ebony and Jet magazine, we've also got to lean on the Johnson Publishing Company to be more relevant in the messages and the images that it sells.
Well, I believe that I've got to be honest with you, as a not a subscriber, like I said, my mom worked there for 40 years, so for 40 years, I received that magazine free of charge because of the, you know, her relationship with the company, and it's just that day has passed us. That day has marched past us simply because of the way they have the approach and the inability to update and keep up with, you know, technology, and that's,
mm-hmm.
I think we're finding this is what's going on in most of our newspapers, and as we saw today, there are four more magazines that are falling by the wayside, and one of them is Gourmet, the oldest and the largest food magazine. So this is not just, you know, in our community, although, you know, we feel it a lot deeper, and when it happens in our community in such an institution such as Jet and Ebony, once those entities fall, you know, we will feel it, you know, it will multiply. The effects will be unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
It at this point, it is what it is.
It is what it is. Yep. You're absolutely right. Thank you so much, Alpha, and you have a good evening, a good day tomorrow. And don't forget, tomorrow night we will be co-hosting with Miss India DeClaire on the India DeClaire Show at Blog Talk Radio, the India DeClaire Show. And I also want to encourage all of you to join me in the Our Common Ground community. And it is ourcommonground-talk.ning.com. It is posted on all of my blogs and such, and at the ustalknetwork.com. Here's what we're doing, folks. We are making sure that we keep this community, this listening audience, together. So when we go back to the better and improved ustalknetwork.com live broadcasting, we would have continued to serve you, and we would have honored your loyalty to us. This broadcast was scheduled for 11 p.m. to 1 a.m., and we only have a few minutes left. We want to let you know, just as we were coming on the air, UPI reported that hundreds of anti-war protesters rallied in front of the White House today, and 50 were arrested. How about that? Now, tomorrow night, we are going to hopefully be joined by Bruce Marks of NACA. That's the National Alliance of Community Associations. And they are national specialists in delivering mortgage and home ownership education and products across the nation. They started 10 years ago sounding the alarm on subprime mortgages and lending in African American and poor communities, and nobody listened. When I say nobody, nobody listened. So Bruce has been a guest on our show on a number of occasions, and excuse me, I'm not accustomed to broadcasting over the telephone. I've got to figure out something different than this. I think I have to call myself and then be a guest and just stay on the line or something, because I need my microphone, and I'm afraid that this telephone that we've had for about 9 years, and there's a battery problem. We want to thank all of you. I have lost my chat room from U.S. Talk Network. We actually had 22 people chatting tonight between the two chat rooms, and yeah, I'll count Steins twice and count some other people twice. We enjoyed spending some time with Alpho, and don't forget the Alpho show broadcast here at Blog Talk Radio, and you should put it in your bookmarks, blogtalkradio.alpho, and it is blogtalkradio.com/the India Declare Show. She will be broadcasting at her regular time tomorrow morning at 11 a.m., and then she will come back to her evening show that will begin at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 7 p.m. Central Time, and we really thank her for accommodating our common ground, and for all of you who are in both sites, both the ustalknetwork.com site as well as the Blog Talk Radio site. Thank you so much for being with us. I've lost my ability to move myself off this page. We thank Information Man and Alpho and Sarge for his call. And for those of you who are new to our common ground, I call the agenda in these 2 hours, and we're not going to spend time arguing in our chat room about issues that are not relevant to our broadcasts. We want you to always stay with us. That's what I always say. And thank you for being with us, and we'll see you tomorrow night at Our Common Ground, U.S. Talk, Blog Talk Radio at 8 p.m., and I'll be listening for you.
Or 20 years, there's been massive research documenting the fact that the media are extraordinarily subordinated to external power. Now, when you have that power, the best technique is to ignore all of that discussion, ignore it totally, and to eliminate it by the simple device of asserting the opposite. If you assert the opposite, that eliminates